Is going on. This is Steve Oatley broadcasting across so many different channels here. I am live on my website, freightbrokerlive.com. I am live on Facebook. I am live on YouTube. I'm live on, I don't know, Twitch. I'm live on Periscope. I'm live all over the place, plus like 20 other groups on Facebook. Hopefully, if you're watching this on Facebook, please make sure you share it out to as many people as you can. I didn't get to share it to as many people as I wanted to. If you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like and subscribe and do all that stuff. My name is Steve. I host this little show called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by a freight broker, ex-carrier, ex-logistics extraordinaire. So now I pretty much just write and have the brokerage. But yeah, so this is my show. I pretty much talk about freight. I talk about the industry. I talk about tips and tricks in the industry. I talk about why it's a good time to get in, why it's a bad time, why rates are crap. See, I almost swore there, and everything else. So without further ado, here's the intro that I sing. Freight broker. Freight broker. Freight broker. Freight broker live. Yeah. I can't do that like I used to. I used to be able to belt it out. Anyway, today is January 20th. It is 2:01, like it always is at the precise moment. We've got some big news today. A lot of it's going to be focused on the new website and all the cool and current trends and all the features that it has in it. We're going to talk about some of the articles that I wrote this past weekend, although if any of you guys actually follow, you know the website was down while we migrated to the new platform. But yeah, so I'll jump right in it here and get going. So as always, as I start off with, this episode and all episodes this month are sponsored by Trucker Tools. Now, if you don't know what Trucker Tools is, it's a free mobile application available on Android and iOS devices, and it's loaded with driver-friendly features and top-of-the-line tools to increase drivers' comfort and experience. It offers over 15 features, including truck stop guides, guides for rest areas, routing and fuel optimizers, medical examiner locations, weigh scales, and so much more, all while using minimal battery and data. Drivers also have the capability of scanning in pertinent documents such as proof of delivery, bills of lading, and easy access. Now, this is a software I've had on my phone since the driving days, since the app first came out. Granted, I'm super interested in freight tech, so the second I read about something, I download it. Trucker Tools is an awesome app. I use it as much as I possibly can. Even now, you know, as I was saying last week, I was driving back and forth to Tennessee often. I used to use it because I'm not, you know, as young as I used to be. So I'm not able to just, you know, crank out 15 hours of driving after working all day. So I'd have to stop. And it was kind of a godsend to know where the rest stops were. And I use the app to do so. But it's a great app. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Go to truckertools.com or to search it on the iTunes or Google Play or anything like that. And speaking of iTunes and Google Play, if you've never listened to my podcast, which is the same exact show you're watching now, if you've never been over, make sure you go and download the podcast. Give me a great review if you want. I did see I got a 1-star. And whoever you are, I got a big shiny middle finger for you. But if you like, you know, podcasts and you like learning about the industry by someone who, frankly, I make these videos because I like it. And I like the industry and I like helping people. And that's the reason why I do it. So we are in active chat. So basically, if you have a comment or question, go ahead and write it in the chat. I'm hoping it's working. I don't see any comments, so I don't know. And hopefully it is. I don't see any comments, so I can't. Usually people comment pretty quick. But what I'll do is I'll throw up the phone line. It is a call-in show, so feel free to call in if you have anything to talk about. And then we'll get going. Yeah, I don't see any comments, so hopefully the comment features are working. So as you guys saw, I posted just before this video a picture that the California Highway Patrol and Truckee, California, had posted of a, I mean, they were essentially, you know, poking fun at a commercial driver who seemed to forget to replace something when he was done fueling. They had him going through the scales there on I-80 and pulled him in because he had a gas. He had a gas tank hanging out. Yeah, if you're watching on my website, guys, there is no place to comment. You'll have to just click on it, and I think maybe you can open YouTube. Otherwise, just you see the phone number. You can call in. Phone lines are active. You can call in. I'll answer it when I can. But if you want to see the story with the trucker who forgot to, I mean, it happens all the time with cars. It's just kind of amusing to see it with trucks. And then I also covered this story. Here's a video real quick. Now that was pretty nuts. It's something that we've seen before too many times with winter weather. It's something that, you know, I mean, the guy was obviously driving too quick. The good thing is the pickup truck drivers, the truck driver who it crashed into, which was the guy in the black sweatshirt, and the state trooper were all not seriously injured. So that's good. Just says bad weather, slow down because it's dangerous. I personally hate driving in snow. I don't really have to drive in snow down here in Florida. But I was involved in that big accident a couple of years ago in Illinois. And ever since then, me driving in snow, especially while I'm hauling anything, I don't really like, you know, there was, I think 6 people died in that pileup a couple of years ago. And I was right in the middle. I drove my truck and trailer right into the woods to try to get away from all the accidents and everything. Luckily, I didn't damage my truck. I had to be towed out, which sucked. But it sucked to sit there. But, yeah. So, Anthony Fowler said J.B. Hunt missed their fourth quarter numbers. Yeah, I saw Freight Waves wrote that article. I didn't really read too much into it. The financial side of things has never really been my big point. There is an article I'm going to put out a little bit later. Which has to do with finances a little bit, not necessarily the JB Hunt thing. I don't follow it. So I don't really care that much. It's a Freight Waves article. So, one other interesting story I wrote about, and I got to pull it up. I'm not prepared. It was about road rage. As anyone can attest, or maybe you don't, but me personally, I have an issue with road rage occasionally. I'm not a big fan of getting cut off. I'm certainly not a fan of middle fingers. I'm not a fan of pretty much anything like that. And hold on one second. Let me scroll down and find this article. And it was a company, I think it was called The Zebra. And they were, they conducted a survey of all their, you know, surveyed. And it was pretty interesting. It was talking about road rage and the site's called The Zebra, and it's an auto insurance aggregation site that connects users to real-time price quotes from as many as 200 different carriers. Conducted a national survey of American drivers to determine their perception of the road rage phenomenon, and the results were not all that surprising, is what I wrote. So, I mean, we can't see each other, but how many of you guys have experienced road rage? Because I know I experience it almost on a weekly basis. I don't know if it's from, you know, the gym and elevated numbers and all that stuff, or just being slightly aggressive, but I get mad quite a bit, and I've tried everything to calm down to the roads, but I was really surprised at some of these numbers. So it said, I believe it was 82% of drivers admit to having road rage or driving aggressively. 42% of drivers surveyed claim they have yelled or cursed loudly at another driver, which I just did like 2 days ago. The problem with driving in Florida is you have people that are, you know, nothing against older people, but you have people that just shouldn't be driving anymore. And they can't safely drive on the roads. And I was driving to the gym at one point, and I literally, in the 4 miles or so it takes to get to the gym, I was nearly hit like 4 or 5 times on my way. So the last lady, she kind of got it because she literally came within a couple of inches of the front of my car, and I was stopped. She just kept backing up and backing up right into the middle of a 2-lane road, just backing out. I don't know if she got lost or something, but she kind of got it. But you know, it's at 42% of drivers claim they've yelled or cursed, and 38% they've used rude or obscene gestures. See, that's not something I really do. I don't do the gesture thing much. 59% of drivers reportedly showed their anger by honking. 45% say they have changed lanes without signaling. And then it gets a little crazy. I didn't realize of the people that they surveyed on this insurance website, and maybe it's just because they're looking for new insurance and all that stuff, but 6% of drivers threw objects, 6% got into a shoving match or physical altercation, and surprisingly, 5% said they used their vehicle by sideswiping, bumping, or forcing another driver off of the road. That's insane. You know, according to the survey, the top three reasons why people experience road rage are tailgating, distracted driving, and my personal trigger, getting cut off. I'm not a big fan of getting cut off much at all. It's especially when you have a whole road in front of you. It doesn't make sense. But drivers, you have to be very meticulous about, or not meticulous isn't the right word. You have to focus on the road and not let someone's idiot driving style screw you over and cause you to cause wrecks or get in trouble. There's a driver that was shot in Florida, and here in Florida up by Jacksonville. I'm not sure when. And he was a semi-truck driver. He got cut off by another semi-truck, and he must have gave a finger and yelled some stuff, maybe got on the CB and yelled, and ended in the opposing semi-driver shot and killed him and then drove off. They still haven't even caught the guy. And that happens a lot in Florida. We have road rage incidences where people are getting shot, or we have the stand your ground law. So, I mean, you could defend yourself, which is nice, but a lot of states don't have that. You know, my suggestion to everyone is either listen to music or get one of the squeezy balls. I have stress balls. I used to have one of those in my car. And because people are just not great drivers. And people, and if you're someone that gets aggravated by it, the thing I like to say, and I like to and try to remind people, is that when you're driving, you're not just driving, you're not just representing yourself or your company, you're representing all other truck drivers. And the thing about it is, if people have a bad perception of trucking and of truck drivers because one bonehead, you know, throws a coffee at someone as he's passing them, or a driver, you know, a truck driver flips someone off because they cut him off, and that perception is going to stick with other people forever, you know. And so I guess the point of writing the article is just remember that you're not just representing yourself when you have road rage incidents. You're representing the entire trucking industry. So the best thing you can do is suck it up. Because sometimes what I do too, especially when I used to bounce and things, when people are getting super aggressive in front of me, one of the best things you could do is just kind of smile. Be like, all right, buddy. And what it does two things. One, it kind of makes them go, oh, I don't know if I really want to be involved in this. And the second one, it kind of steers you. It makes them wonder, like, this dude is just smiling. It's not affecting him. Mike Timmy throws coffee at them. Yeah. I mean, I don't throw anything. I just get loud. And there's been a couple, when I was young, before I had kids, before I kind of grew up, there were a couple of times I'm not saying that on the radio. There were a couple of times I got super mad and got out of the car, especially when you have someone that's tailgating you and brake checking you over and over on a road for so long and you can't get out. And then finally they think they're a big tough guy and they get out and then realize that you're driving a minivan, but you are not a lady. You're actually a massive guy and you're very fast, and you get to their car, and that's where the story stops. But yeah. So just remember, when you're driving a commercial vehicle, whether you're an owner operator, whether you're a company driver, you're not just representing yourself. You're not representing your company. You're representing the trucking industry. And I say that for brokers as well. I have a viewer that messaged me earlier. See, I'm going to transition right here. But I have a viewer that messaged me earlier about he's getting sued. He's getting sued for $50,000 because I think he meant chicken, although there was a spelling error in there. But so I can't really decipher what it was. But he had a load of chicken, I'm assuming, that was supposed to be refrigerated at 28 degrees. The rate confirmation from the broker said it was supposed to travel at negative two. So, of course, the driver and the carrier set at negative two. Even though the bill lading said 28 miles an hour, or 28 degrees, they went off of what the broker said, so there would be no issues. Of course, there was a claim, I don't know if the load got rejected, but it was no good. So and he just messaged me today asking if I could refer a lawyer to him because he's getting sued. They didn't file a claim with his insurance. And I tell you why they didn't, because a broker understands there's no reason to file the claim with the insurance because the insurance is going to refute it. The insurance is going to say, we're not paying that. One, because a rate confirmation has a degree of negative two. They can, and so they were following the orders. So the broker was probably charged back from their customer. So the broker, the only way they could try to recoup it is just by going after the carrier directly. And it's sad. And he's like, what do you want what should I do? And I said, the very first thing you do is file the claim with your insurance company. Yeah, I know it sucks. You're going to have a claim on your insurance. Unless you got $50,000 out to settle, file the claim with your insurance company. If they do refuse the claim, they part of their job, depending on what your coverage is to defend you. And if they refuse a claim, that shows that there's no that they don't feel there's liability, and then you can extend it on. But because he was already served with papers as well, I said you need to go find an attorney, because a lot of the times it's very easy to file a lawsuit on someone. And depending on what state they're in and what the amount is for and all that, there's a certain time frame that you have to reply to the initial lawsuit. And if you don't, then they apply for a default judgment and then you owe them the money anyway. So if you're ever, this is, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so this isn't legal advice, but if you're ever getting sued by anyone, go get a lawyer immediately, because you have to answer that petition. Otherwise, you are screwed, because any lawyer that's filing a claim knows he's just going to wait until that clock runs out, and then he's going to file a claim on, or he's going to file for default judgment, and then you're out. So what I would just say, if you're in that situation, make sure, I mean, this carrier seemed like he did everything he was supposed to. You know, he ran it at the temperature the broker said. The only thing, and I didn't ask him, because in all reality, in our conversation, it didn't matter. Did the broker tell him after the fact, after he saw the bills of lading said run it at 28? Did he call the broker and say, hey, listen, the bills of lading say 28 degrees. Should I run it at 28 or should I run it under the negative two like you told me to on the Raycon? And then once you get an answer, that's where you make your decision. I don't know if that actually went on. Ultimately, who knows what's going to happen? I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an insurance person, so I don't really know what to do. But my advice to him was, one, find a lawyer that specializes in transportation, like cargo claims and things like that. And secondly, contact your insurance company. Let them know that there was a claim. There is a reason why that broker, who's a relatively big broker who's been around for a while, it's not a three-letter broker. It's a big broker that's been around for a while. There's a reason why they filed a direct lawsuit and didn't file a claim with the insurance company. So, and with that, yeah, you have to just use your head. Call in line is active, 914-803-4008. If you've got a question, you want to learn something, you want to talk about freight, you want to learn how to open a brokerage or a carrier side, or if you want to ask any question to someone that's actually a broker, anything, go ahead. Here's another article I wrote about this weekend, and I just remembered. So if any of you guys can't figure out, I'm a big sports guy. I'm a power lifter. I'm, used to fight, used to bounce, used to do all that stuff. So I really enjoy the UFC. Conor McGregor, if you can't tell what my tattoos are from there, they're, you know, Dropkick Murphys, or, you know, it's basic. They're an Irish band out of Boston. I'm Irish. Conor McGregor is probably one of my favorite fighters. Him and John Jones, they're both kind of a-holes, but I like them both. So, but the thing is, I like Cerrone too. So with this fight that happened the last weekend, kind of went into it wanting, you know, Cowboy to win, just to kind of shut up McGregor because he sucked, or because he's just loud and obnoxious and all that stuff all the time. But it went after the fight was over, because spoiler alert, pause this if you haven't watched the fight. McGregor beat the crap out of him in 40 seconds and TKO'd in the first round. And it made me think about it, because afterwards, I think because I was so amped up, I was drinking, you know, caffeine to try to stay awake, because I didn't think the fight was going to happen until like 12:30 or 1. So I was all amped up, you know, and thought the fight was going to go for a while, and I didn't think it was going to be over that quick. So I had a lot of energy after, and I started thinking about it, and I, you know, it made me mad that Cerrone didn't win, and because he deserves it, you know. And then I started thinking of it from a freight perspective, and I know that if you haven't read the article I wrote, which is on freightbrokerlive.com, this is going to be a stretch, and you're going to be like, what the hell is this dude talking about? But if you look at it from a freight perspective, and you imagine Cerrone is a little LT, or a little local small carrier, you know, not the mega fleet. He's just a little small guy. If you look at Cerrone's fight background, he is the guy that they call on short notice. He is the guy that, you know, Maria said, well, 2 is the same as 28 on Facebook. Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I don't deal with the insurance claims. I don't know. But if you look at Cerrone and you look at him in this perspective, he's like all the little independent guys that are out there struggling, trying to make as much money as they can, trying to do everything he can and to, you know, just to get noticed and make a good paycheck. And he's a guy that if someone falls out of a fight, they call him up to pick up the load or pick up the, you know, the match. And if you look at it from the small, from the carrier side, imagine, like in that perspective, he's a small carrier. And then you look at the McGregors of the trucking industry, the big mega carriers, the guys that are just getting paid premium. They have too many trucks. You know, they essentially, they're better. If you look at McGregor, he jumps up and down weight class as he goes to traditional boxing. He comes back to the UFC. He literally tries to do everything he can to be successful and to showboat and to get the massive paychecks. It's not coming out the way I want it to now. I guess you may have to just read the article, but it just made me think. It's always the little guy in trucking that's getting beat up by the big guys. Rates are down because, you know, the bigger carriers that are used to doing direct contract freight and everything, that freight's kind of dried up because their customers are moving to spot because the spot rates are cheap. These carriers are coming to the spot and pulling spot markets out. The guys that are running, you know, with $1.50, $1.60, $1.70 a mile operational cost, because remember the national average according to Attree is $1.82. These guys are just getting beat up by the megas, by the big guys, by all the big shippers and the big brokers. They're like the McGregors of the fight world, you know, and they fight dirty too. Those shoulders, has anyone ever seen a fight with shoulders in it? I haven't. And they were, you know, they were deadly. I mean, they beat him up. But yeah, so it was a good fight, but it made me really think about transportation. It made me think about logistics and because everything I try to, I switch everything to a logistics mindset because that's just who I am. I just think about logistics far too much. You know, everything. So it's just an interesting way to look at something. Go read the article because the article does a little bit better job of putting it together than me just talking. The phone number is 914-803-4008. I'm going to read some of these comments and then we'll go from there. And then I will, I guess, talk about brokering because someone had a couple of questions earlier that they messaged about brokering. So Anthony Fowler, oh, we already covered that on YouTube. What's up, Anthony? What's up, Molly? What's up, Mike? YouTube and Facebook. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like, subscribe, hit a bell, do whatever you do on YouTube. I don't know what it matters. If you're watching this on my YouTube or on my new website, can't really do anything because the comments don't work, but it's I'll actually have a different link. I just didn't have it coded properly, so that's why I threw it up there. But there will be a link under the virtual truck stop where you can watch the live videos every day at 2 o'clock. And it won't be on the main page, right? I just may make like a timed banner or something. But if you haven't if you haven't seen it yet, go to the new website. I spent a tremendous amount of time. The website was down all weekend, you know, while I upgraded everything. So Freight Broker Live is new and improved. I'm trying to put out as much content. We got Ryan Mackwood. I'm not sure if he's in this video, but he wrote an article this morning about ELDs and the weather impacts of ELDs. And he'll be writing some other content for us soon. So there's just a lot of good content on there. Plus, I launched the virtual truck stop page, I guess, which is pretty rad. I actually really like it. A lot of the functionality isn't there yet, but I'll run through it real quick. So there's the classifieds. If you have a truck or something you want to sell that's related to the industry, I'm going to kick everything out that isn't, but just anything related to the industry, you could post a classified ad. And then I'll use SEO, and if I see cool crap, I'll plug it on social media to try to get it out there. We have a trucker's lounge, which is a forum. There's a couple of interesting things that I want to do with this. So, you know, we have the freight 101 section. So if you have questions about starting up a brokerage, you have questions about starting up as a carrier, you have other questions, you can enter a forum in there. And then hopefully as it grows, more people will comment. And we have the introduction forum, just like everyone else, where you give intros. The one thing I'm super excited about is part of the section for the forums is broker reviews. So I want people to actually go on there, like the person that has, you know, the pending claim and all that stuff. Or do you have a broker you really like with, or do you have, or like working with, or you have a broker you really hate? Go over to Freight Broker Live, click on the virtual truck stop at the top and go down to Trucker's Lounge, register to sign up. It doesn't cost you anything. And then you can go and comment. And as I build up the brand and as I find interesting things and put it on there, hopefully it will have a lot of engagement. If you want to pay attention to all the live videos and all that, on pretty much every page on the bottom, I don't know where it is, bottom right hand side, you'll see a little red bell that'll ask if you want to receive notifications when I go live or when I have a new article or something. I'll start sending out notifications every time I go live through there, and you can watch through your normal ways, or you can watch on the website. You can do a whole bunch of stuff, but. And then the biggest thing is I'm opening a store where I'm just going to call it the truck stop store. Basically, it's going to have some necessities that I think, through my Amazon affiliate, through other different programs and stuff that I'm a part of with discounts and things, just different things and different products that I think every trucking company, owner, truck driver, broker, anybody like that would need in order to be successful. And just try to kind of find all the discounts and everything and just put them into one handy store. And it'll help me just keep the website up and running and all that stuff. So I'm super excited about that. I'm working with someone from my gym, actually a certified personal trainer, to work on the healthy driver segment on the page, where we're just going to have different exercises, different diets, different things you can do to become, to be healthy while you're driving a truck. So I'm very excited about that, obviously, because most of you guys know the gym is very important to me, and I try to stay as healthy as I can. But yeah, just make sure you guys go over to the Trucker's Lounge under the virtual truck stop on my site, sign up, add comments, add questions, keep checking it. Where else do they have actual broker reviews? They have them on like that and things like that. But this is one that's just, I'm not going to censor you guys. You could say what you want. If you get all like stupid and just keep it clean, no nudity, none of that crap, no racism, anything like that, I'll just kick you out. But it's more just meant for, to drive traffic to the site. So you read interesting articles and things that I put out there. While being able to voice whatever it is you want to voice. Because I know a lot of these groups, you can't actually say what you want to say. The forums are completely separate from everything I do. So go ahead and sign up and write all you want. All right, so let's read some more of these comments. Rate Lane on YouTube said, what Conor McGregor can teach us about freight? Well, you just keep coming back. You're going to do well. But that's it. Right Lane said he throws shoulders when negotiating with brokers. I know. A lot of people do. You got to do it. If you watch that fight, that was pretty darn incredible. I seriously had to watch it back like 6 times because I was like, man, what happened? At first it looked like they were getting ready to touch gloves and McGregor was being shady. But then I realized, no, they were never going to touch gloves. And it just makes you, when you watch the actual replay of that fight, you see how versatile and athletic McGregor is, because he misses his punch while in the air. He knees him and then lands an uppercut and then lands on the ground and then starts shoulder checking him. I don't even know what you'd call it. And then I think he knees him, and then it was a final you know, left kick, roundhouse, whatever, to the jaw, and it was over. But it was a pretty good fight. But it was over so quick, I got so mad. And then, of course, just like everything else, I'm sitting there because I'm all wired and I couldn't go to sleep now. And so I was thinking about, freight, like I always do. And I started thinking about the little guy in freight, which is Cowboy. Everyone wants Cowboy to win, but we all the smart guys put their money on McGregor. You know what I mean? It's the same, kind of the same in the freight world where we all want the little owner ops to win. But if we got to hedge a bet, we're going to put it on the big guy because they're just too damn big and powerful. And that's kind of where I was getting at the industry. And it's just funny. But Will on Facebook said, can I distinguish between the difference the difference between a broker and a dispatcher, that's what he's asking for. So a broker is someone that has a broker bond. They work directly with shippers. So they have the authority from the FMCSA to handle the transportation of goods or to arrange the transportation of goods between a shipper and on with a carrier. So they don't take actual possession of the freight. So their liability is actually very limited in terms of claims and things like that. But they are the facilitator between a shipper and a carrier. They're the ones who are putting them all together. A dispatcher, and this is where it gets hairy, so I know a lot of people aren't going to like this. So a dispatcher is someone that essentially does the same thing, except instead of a shipper and a carrier, they're working between a broker and a carrier. Now, there's a fine line on whether or not they need a broker bond. My personal belief and the belief of the FMCSA agent that I talked to three separate times, is that they do require a broker bond, but there's very little enforcement activities going on to ensure that a dispatcher does have a brokerage bond. What you can do if you're looking to become a dispatcher, get your bond. Simple as that. Because then when they do start cracking down on it, it's not going to affect anybody. Plus, you're not limited to just finding freight on load boards for your customers. Because here's the catch. A dispatcher that doesn't have a broker bond can never, anyone that's advertising that they have direct freight is completely full of crap and they're breaking the law. It just flat out, because a dispatcher that's working with a customer cannot, or with a direct shipper cannot have, they cannot have that relationship. In all reality, you can't have that relationship with a carrier because the broker is the one who is paying the freight bill anyway. And the dispatcher is profiting off of interstate commerce, off of, facilitating that transfer, which it meets the same definition of a broker. But so those are the two differences. A broker works with a shipper and a carrier. A dispatcher works with a broker and a carrier. Typically, the dispatchers are paid by the carrier, whereas a broker is paid by the shipper. That's the easiest way. My recommendation, if you're going to hire a dispatcher that advertise as a dispatch service, make sure they have a freight broker bond and make sure they have the authority to do so. I can honestly say this, all the reputable dispatch services that are out there, and there are quite a few, all have broker bonds. They may not even do anything with the brokerage at all, but they all know that they require it and they do not want to get shut down by the FMCSA. And eventually that'll happen where they have some sort of affiliation, and every single dispatch service that is, real and honorable, when you ask them, hey, do you have a broker bond? They're going to say yes. And they'll tell you who it is and you can verify it and all that good stuff. Mike Timmy said on Facebook, if he's never lifted weights, how do I get a personal trainer and how much money? Well, there's different things. One, you can go to a gym and get a personal trainer and who knows how much he'll charge. I know some personal trainers that charge a couple $100 a month to meet with you a couple of times a week. If you're driving in a truck, you can't necessarily do that. Now, the thing that I'm working on is essentially a programming. So you do it online. You're actually, and there's exercise and things you see. And then you have a certified personal trainer that's actually going to run your, they're going to create the program based on you, based on your levels of health, your dieting, whether you're in a truck 24/7, what you can do to one, lose weight and become more athletic and more healthy. But it doesn't impact your daily business and operations. And those, it's the same thing I do as a powerlifter. I go to a powerlifting gym and there's powerlifting coaches there. But when I'm actually doing, a training or diets or anything like that, it's all online. So I basically provide a tremendous amount of information in terms of my diet, in terms of my weightlifting capabilities, in terms of all that stuff to a trainer. They develop a program, a custom program to me, and then I work on achieving that program. Now, that's what we're trying to build within the Freight Broker Live website, is just, and when we're doing it, we're talking like $35-$40 a month, and that'll go directly to the trainer. I won't handle any of that stuff. But we'll also have a bunch of free content. So we'll have free exercises every driver can do in their truck. We'll have exercises every single person can do in their office. Different ways to eat healthy. It's hard. I mean, when I was driving back and forth to Tennessee, I was eating McDonald's or what is that place? Hardee's, which is incredible. And I've never been to one ever in my life. It was good, but I was eating all that, and it's not super healthy, you know, and just imagine, and that's just because of one day drive twice a week for, you know, the entire day. Imagine driving full time. You're very limited in what you can eat. One, because you got hours of service that you got to fall in line with, and you got the ELD, you know, keeping you honest with the HOS, and you have all these focuses. And I know on Sirius, there's these guys that are out there being like, oh, buy my supplements and do this stuff and blah, 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 and keto diets and all. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm doing it like a cross keto diet now. But in terms of everything else, you know, the supplements, I want to launch a supplement line. I've wanted to for a long time. But as my wife says, they're essentially a waste of money, because you can go out. Some of them are necessary with vitamins and stuff like that. But the stuff these guys are selling that you just, you know, take this shake and you're going to lose 20 pounds. It's all garbage. It's all garbage. But I hope that answers your question the best. I will have an article. I've actually been working on it. I'm just trying to find the pictures of these exercises. So I will have a couple of different routines that you could do. But I'm not a personal trainer or anything like that. And obviously the workouts that I do, you guys aren't going to do, because I'm, you know, a competing power lifter who lifts entirely too much weight. But Will English on YouTube said, how many hours should I drive before getting out of the cab to stretch or walk? Me personally, I guess it all depends. I think a good number is 4 hours. A lot, I've read that people say every 2 hours, get out, you know. For me, I know I'm good for, you know, a 4 hours behind the wheel. And then as the day, so if I drive for 4 hours and I stop to take a leak or something, I'll literally get out. You know how many times around a tractor trailer it takes before you walk a mile? I think it's like 32 or 34 full laps around a tractor trailer is a mile. Just walk around your truck. You know, you do it once to do your like mid-trip inspections and all that. Well, just do it 32 times. I don't know. Or not really. Just get out and walk around, stretch. That's one of the things. I know if I sit for any longer than 4 hours without getting out, plus I drink so much water. So like this is my first gallon of the day and it's pretty much gone. I drink 2 gallons a day. If you drink a lot of water all the time, you're going to have to stop. You're not going to be able to sit continuously behind the wheel of a truck. But that's, I mean, that's my opinion. You know, just, I would say every 4 hours at the most. If you can do it, do every 3 hours and just get out and stretch, or even just pull over and stretch or do whatever you got to loosen up. It's just not good to sit behind a wheel forever. You guys probably know that your ankles swell up. That's what happens to me if I sit for a long time. Even sitting here at the desk during the day, it happens. All right. People are asking why. So Mike Jamie said, we all want to know what truly happened at Freight Waves. Can you just talk all the blah, blah, blah and bury them right now so we can get over with? No, because I don't have any problem with Freight Waves. So, and that's all I'll say. So I have no problem with them. I still believe in their products and all that stuff. It just wasn't the best fit for everything. So that's it. There's no ill will between me and them. You know, matter of fact, I still see I'm writing an article and then they reference it, you know, or they don't reference it, but they're writing a similar article. So they're watching what I'm doing. They're watching these videos and if they track my IP, I'm watching them constantly, seeing what they're writing about and what they're talking about. I have no ill will towards them at all. I'm no longer with them just because one, the time away from my family was driving me nuts. It started affecting me and the kids negatively. The travel back and forth was a toll on me and my gym habits and my schedule and all that stuff. And to be honest, look at the kind of videos I make. and look at the kind of videos they make. They're not the same. They don't work together. They don't coincide very well. I'm not really, you know, a quiet person, but again, I have no problems with them. I like them a lot and I like their product and I like their service and I wish them the best and hope they stay open for a very long time. But, and I hope that answers it. So no more questions about that, but, phone lines. Oh, we got some active calls. So bear with me. I'm sorry you guys are on hold, but I'm going to pick up the first one right now. What's up, buddy? You're on the air. Yeah, you are. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It was good to listen to it on here. This is Right Lane. How are you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Oh, I was hoping to talk about what happened with freight waves. I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist. I don't know. I'm just calling in. It seemed like sometimes you wait. What do you want to ask a highly seasoned carrier? What should we talk about?
How is it out there for you right now?
I think it's okay. I was just looking at the numbers. According to that, the national average is a little bit lower than January last year, but it's not bad. Freight volumes seem to be okay. If anything, you know, my intuition tells me that starting to feel like for us spot market guys out here, there's a little bit more capacity, possibly because of midsize and smaller carriers going out the beginning of the year and last year. But honestly, I don't know. I don't have a long enough track record to get a good picture of it, but that is kind of the feel that I get from talking with other carriers and from just working the load boards and stuff.
So do you go after direct customers? Or are you primarily just a spot guy?
I do. I live in Colorado. So the consistency of freight, as I would like to get direct customers out of my area and then kind of be able to triangle around the house. But that was originally my plan when I started this business. It just hasn't worked out. The volume of freight that moves around my house is low. So
right.
Inevitably there'll be a dry spot. I got to go to where the volumes are high. And then I get stuck out there. Like I went from Colorado to Texas and then I went from Texas to Nevada and I'm going from Nevada to Mississippi. So it's, and no, I did not go into a brothel while I was in Nevada. Okay, I know you're thinking that, but I didn't do it.
Yeah. And then last question, do you know what your operational cost is to run per mile? I'm always curious.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the major variable in that is how many miles are you going to run? Because the more right. miles you run, your operational cost goes down. But if I figure it conservatively, and I mean really conservatively, at 80,000 miles a year, it's $1.65 last time I looked.
There you go.
So
so you're below the national average, because the national average, according to Attri, is $1.82. So
But I put a lot of capital into it before I started, so my operational costs are particularly lower than somebody who, let's say, is doing lease trucks or buying trucks new, you know. And I put down a bunch of capital, and into my operational cost is only the truck note, not paying back the loan that I gave the business to start, you know.
Right.
So if I was to say pay back the loan, I would be a lot closer to that that 185 or 180, whatever it was, 180 something.
182. Yeah.
I think that would be right on target. Yeah, I think that would be right on target. Then I could probably, you know, then that would probably pay me back off in 4 or 5 years. So,
gotcha.
And, you know, so if I was to run 120,000 miles a year, like I keep hearing a lot of people do, my operational costs would fall significantly.
Right.
But I don't want to run that much.
What do you run? Are you running like, you know, 4 days out, back three, or?
I try not to have originally my plan was 4 out and 3 home, but because of where I live, it's just not practical at all.
Right.
So
right.
what I've ended up doing is I'll go out for 2 or 3 weeks and then I'll go home for a week or more. That's kind of been my schedule.
Gotcha. There's a lot of drivers that do that. I think it's a good way because it keeps your home time fresh too. But like I said, the driving world isn't for me anymore. I barely could handle a 10-hour drive back from Tennessee. you know, just sitting in the truck and all that. But then again, that was in a Chevy. Well, it wasn't in a big rig.
Let me just say, I don't know you, but from what I get from listening to you and seeing your energy levels and stuff, dude, way good choice or whatever. It's all for the best that you're going to do your own thing and not get boxed in. You were corralling yourself. I thought that from the very beginning. So good on you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, bud.
And I look forward to hearing what the other callers have to say.
Cool, cool. Thanks for calling in, man.
Bye-bye.
All right. And now we have another call. Hold on 1 second. Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Hello? Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, what's up with these rates, man?
Rates are low. Hey, the rates are low. I mean, you know, if you watch my show, that's a question that everybody asks every single day.
Let me tell you, man. You know what's not good? How, like, everybody says, oh, well, DAT says it's paying this much. DAT says it's supposed to pay this much. Why would I pay $200-$300 more? It's all a bunch of bullshit, bro. I don't know.
Well, I mean, not from the broker's perspective. Because if the thing about it is, if a broker quotes off of DAT, which you shouldn't always do, but that's one of the ways that I quote. If you watch a show before, I use DAT, I use truck stop, I use lane data, and then I kind of get an average, and that's how I quote. But if, as a carrier, you have to work around that DAT number, because if you don't, other people are going to eventually.
Yeah.
The way those numbers go up, the way the lane rates go up, are when it's harder to find trucks. But if we have trucks if we can keep finding trucks that are taking loads for super cheap, then we're going to end up continuing to move them for that cheap. It's just kind of the nature of the business.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Do you think it's going to get better by the summer?
Yeah. Like I said, someone asked me a comment earlier, and I said, I think rates will come up in May. I think it's going to be a little bit later. Normally they start rising in April, and by the end of April and May, early May, they're going to come up. I think probably the middle of the May, I think we're going to have a good year in June. I think we'll have a good month in June, good month in July. And then, I mean, I can only be optimistic. I think rates are going to come up, and I think we're going to be great. They're not going to go back up to 2018 rates, but I think they're going to come up, and it'll be more manageable. But I think one of the most important things is drivers have to realize, don't take loads that are super cheap. I mean, that's it. If I have I wrote an article about it the other day.
Like, I see, like, L.A. to Dallas. Like L.A. to Dallas, I see people posting it for, like, 2021, like, on like 1,300, 1,400 miles. I don't get how people are making money off that. And then, like, coming back, it's like same shit, like 17, 18.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
One of my agents is moving, you know, lanes that are
cheap loads. Let me ask you this, man. When no one takes those cheap loads, like, how long does it sit for? Like, I'm guessing the shipper doesn't care.
No, the shippers do care. Here's what the shippers do care about rates. It's all dependent on what the broker does. Like, for me, example, if I take a load, it's because I know I can get it covered. If I accept a load from a customer, and meaning that I have to get it moved, it's going to move, because whether I take a loss on it or not, if a customer gives me a ballpark rate, maybe it's just because I've been around the business, so I can see it and I understand the rates a little bit better. But in terms of how long it sits until it gets moved or until the shipper says, okay, I'm finally going to pay more. So it's like the comment the article I wrote about detention a couple of weeks ago, that's on freightbrokerlive.com. The only way detention rates are going to come up to to where they should be are if carriers actually stand up for themselves. Because a broker can't say, I mean, we could say to our shipper that, okay, we're paying $75 an hour for detention after 2 hours, and that's what we bill.
The carrier only gets taken care of when the broker needs them. If the broker doesn't need them, they'll be like, forget the detention, or I'm going to pay you, like, cheap. And it's all supply and demand. It's like, the broker doesn't need the carrier, or, like, you know, even the other way around.
Well, brokers always need carriers. Just so you know, brokers always need carriers. That's how you make money. But there's nothing stopping any small carrier, any small broker from getting out and getting their own customers, or any small carrier. or even medium-sized carrier. Yeah, there's no reason why you shouldn't. If you run and own your truck and you are independent and it's your authority, you should have direct customers. Even one, even that, and you build your lane off of that one customer.
I know.
You know.
Hey, man. Let me ask you this: like, let's say I have a list of like, I don't know, like 10,000, 20,000 shippers or something.
Yeah. I think we lost you, bud. Yeah, we lost you. Thanks for calling in, though. But yeah, it's the rates are. I mean, rates are going to go down. Anyone who watches this every, you know, whenever I go live, you know that I say the same answer every time. They're going to come up. It's just a waiting game until they come up. I know rates are bad. You know, unfortunately, the people that have been in the industry for a while understand that the rates are low, but they understand they come up as well. We're not even as low as we're going to get right now. They're going to go even lower. All right. Will on YouTube asked a question a little bit ago. He said he has his MC number, broker authority, and surety bond. Just purchased a box truck, looking to move freight through Amazon Relay. How do I get started? Well, just go to the Amazon site and sign up. Be weary, though.
Amazon's not going to let you make money.
That's a joke. I don't know. I've had carriers that make a lot of money off of Amazon. Not all of them do, though. But if you just look up Amazon, you know, haul freight for Amazon or something on Google, it'll show up. You know, I would say that I could help you because I have set up a bunch of companies before. I just don't have time. Now I'm too busy doing all this stuff. But Amazon is cheap. But like I said, I've had carriers, depending on how you run and where you run hauling Amazon, I can't speak to the box truck side of things, but I could say in the Northeast, I have a couple of carriers that I consulted with that I got them set up on Amazon. And they started with three trucks. And they ran those three trucks all doing local day stuff with three different crews. So they had drivers on for 8 hours each, and then they would sub them out, and they're just doing drop and hook stuff all day long. They were making bank. And when I say bank, they were making a tremendous amount of money, and Amazon was paying back all of their tolls, all of that. But I think, I don't even know if that company's still in business, because I set them up and then they made all their money and everything. And then they realized, hey, we don't need to pay this consultant anymore, because we're doing it ourselves. But since then, I think Amazon switched to day rates, so I don't know what kind of money they're actually paying for their deliveries. With the box trucks, maybe you can get into doing some of their, you know, in-home deliveries, and depending on what they're paying, I don't know. You know, their white glove stuff, maybe you can make some money doing final mile. Again, it all depends on where your location is. I wouldn't do anything over the road in a box truck, personally, because it's going to be very hard for you to make any money at all. Especially when these guys with full trucks are making $1.60, $1.50, $1.40 a mile. And then you run out in a box truck and you can handle 12 skids, but your max weight's 8,000 pounds because you, you're going to have a hard time making the money. You have to get in on one of those dedicated accounts. Otherwise, just go get a bigger truck if you can afford it. A lot of people this is what I used to deal with on the consulting side all the time, is people go out and they buy a box truck, they get their MC number, they pay the stupid amount of insurance, you know, to get everything all set up. Then they're set up and then they realize, wait, all these people are talking $2 a mile, $3 a mile. I bump the dog. I don't move my truck unless I'm making $3 a mile. You will not make $3 a mile running a straight truck unless you are running super local, you know, making 15 pickups a day. And trust me, I did it. That's what I did, is I had a bunch of straight trucks. I had 18 straight trucks and three tractors. And the reason I had it is because we were in Metro New York, New Jersey area. That's all we had to do. We just had to run around into the cities. It was a lot easier in straight trucks. And because our warehouse was so centralized, if the truck was full or they picked up three skids that weighed 10,000 pounds, we'd just run it back and drop it in our warehouse. And then they'd go and make the rest of the pickups. But it's very hard over the road to make a decent living. As someone that dispatched straight trucks for years, if you can avoid it, don't go into the hotshot stuff or do something else. Straight trucks, you're not going to make any money. And you're going to be one of the failure stories there's a high potential of you to be one of the companies that ends up shutting down because the costs are just too high versus what you're going to actually make on the road. You know, look at partial rates on DAT and Truckstop. If you've got your MC number, you can go into DAT and you can go into Truckstop and you can look at the partial rates, because they're crap. If full truckload rates are crap, so are partial rates. Right Lane said, we need a modern day Jimmy Hoffa to get rates up, hopefully without using firebombs and death threats this time. I agree. I've always said the transportation industry needs a real voice behind it. I've thought that for a long time. You know, ever since I became a fleet owner, really, is when I started actually thinking about it, there isn't a voice. We have all these organizations and all that stuff that work in trucking, but there's a new generation. I like to say, even though I don't like to say it, but it's true. There's a younger voice in transportation. I think that voice is missing from, regulations and stuff. And we just need to, the time needs to, we just need to stand up. Like I said in the article that I wrote you could try to find it on there. I think it's in the Freight 101 section about detention. Drivers need to stop. You know, don't take loads. You know, put your detention rules and your layover rules and all that on the Raycon and get the broker to sign off before you go. If you know that there's a high potential for you to sit, like say you're delivering to a Walmart and they say you have an 11 o'clock appointment and you don't have access to Retail Link, but you want to confirm your appointment and you call and they say there's no appointment. The broker's like, no, go ahead and go. You're good. Just go. And then you get there. And the appointment's not for the next day at 10 a.m. And the carrier or the broker says, yeah, I'll pay you $200 for a truck order not used. Sorry about that. I guarantee you're going to make a lot more than $200 for sitting your truck for that day. I can guarantee it. Or than you would if you don't sit there. But, getting an appropriate detention cost, getting an appropriate layover cost, getting an appropriate truck order not used are factors that are very important. And it all the reason why I wrote that article, and it is in the Freight 101 section on Freight Broker Live. The reason why I wrote that article is because of the one driver that said he got $150 truck order not used after sitting for 4 hours. Sucks. I mean, think about it. If you sit, say you get there at 10:30 and you don't get even the cut, they don't even tell you to leave until 2:30. Your whole day is burnt. Is $150 going to compensate for what you actually lost from sitting there for the entire day? Absolutely not. Me as a broker, am I limited what I could pay you? Absolutely. You know, if a customer says I'm not paying it, but I know that beforehand, I'm not going to book it. If you go and say, hey, listen, my policy is a $500 truck order not used. That's it. If I sit for over 3 hours waiting for a load, we have a $500 truck order not used. I need you to put that on the rate confirmation before I book the load for you. If I have a carrier that says that to me, guess what I'm going to do? The very first thing I'm going to do is going to call the customer and tell them the same exact thing. And if the customer says, no, wait, we'll wait for a different carrier, then I'll tell the carrier that was on the line, no, the customer wants to see if we can find somebody else. And the chances of us finding someone else are very great. It's going to take a lot of people addressing this to make it work. But if I'm looking to cover a load and we're in a very crappy area and we can't get any freight moved in that area, and I have the first truck that I've called, the first truck that I've called that's been interested in it says, hey, I could do this load, but I need it on paper that we have a $500 truck order not used. If there's any detention, it's billed at $75 an hour. And if we have layovers, they're billed at $800 a day or whatever. Just say some number. And if I have a carrier that says that and I can't get the freight moved and the customer is now becoming desperate because they don't have the freight moved, the customer is going to agree to it. And at least it protects you in that instance. Now, are you going to get people to do it all the time? No. What I say in the article is try it. If it doesn't work, then you sit and don't take the load. Wait until another one pops up. Or you just run the gamble and take the load and hope nothing happens. But a lot of you guys that are regional and go to the same DCs and the same warehouses all the time, you know if it's going to be delayed, if it's going to take you a long time. When I ran up in the Northeast, I knew there was that one place in Dayton, New Jersey, that I was going to sit for hours at. Didn't matter if I have one pallet or a full truckload. I was going to sit for hours. They wouldn't let me offload it. So I started telling the carriers or the brokers that I was getting the work from that they had to pay me detention upfront, add it to the Raycon because I knew I was going to have it. But that's it. But that's my rant about detention and all that stuff. Read the article. It's on the Freight 101 section of freightbrokerlive.com. I think it's on there, and it's a good one. Right lane said Steve for transportation czar. Yeah, no. Politics aren't my thing. I'm too opinionated. Can you imagine if someone's like, you don't know what you're talking about, starts yelling at me and I lose my cool? No, that wouldn't be good. Right lane said he has a Raycon listing $50 after 2 hours, but no truck order, not used or layover. What happens if I sit at the dock overnight? Then you see, in that instance, yeah, you're getting paid for the detention. But if you sit overnight, you're going to get paid whatever the broker pays you. Then you're not going to get paid hourly because you're maybe, I don't know. Cause I think you would have a legal argument for it. If your Raycon says $50 an hour after 2 hours and you end up sitting for 10 hours and you can legally bill them $500 because that's what your Raycon says. If it would be, you'd be hard pressed to get a broker that's actually going to pay that because they're just going to try to save their customer money. Or what some brokers are doing, which we got into the argument about last week, not you and I, but somebody else, one of the other viewers, is the broker is going to tell their customer, yeah, it's costing $500. And then they're going to call you and say, nope, the truck order not uses, or the detention is $250. That's it. In terms of truck order not used, that's an industry standard right now. You're going to get it. If you get a rate confirmation and you get dispatched to the load, meaning you have the addresses and all that stuff, you will get a truck order not used. But unfortunately, the truck order not used is $250. It doesn't, or if you're lucky, it's $250. As rates come up and fuel comes up and all that stuff, the only thing that hasn't changed is detention rates and truck order not used and essentially the accessorials on loads. You know who they have increased for? LTL carriers. And do you know why LTL carriers are able to bill $35 every 15 minutes if they sit longer than a half an hour at a shipper? Because it's on their contract. That's why they're able to do it. The only way for you to get it on your contract is to tell the carrier when booking, hey, listen, I'll take the load. No problems with that. You're going to have awesome service. We'll track you. We'll do MacroPoint. Hell, you could stick a GPS chip on my arm. I don't care. But I need this in writing that you're going to pay my truck order not use and all that and put it on the Raycon. And if you're super confident with yourself, then, and you know, sweeten the deal with penalties. If you don't deliver on time, do whatever you got to do to get them in writing. But anyone who doesn't get it in writing, you're kind of contributing to the fact that it's cheap. It's currently cheap and no one's going to do it. Do you think the big carriers that are doing the contracted rates and all that are making $35 an hour? Hell, most of them are paying their drivers more than that for sitting there. It's because it's contracts. And I know people are like, oh, in the spot market, it doesn't matter. You can't do that kind of stuff. They'll just go give it to somebody else. Well, good. If they give it to somebody else, move on. Go do a different thing. That's it. You know, if they give it to somebody else, wait for the next load and then try and then mark off on your little, you know, thing, or go over to my site to Freight Broker Live under the virtual truck stop and go to the Truckers Lounge, the brand new Truckers Lounge, where it's got a forum with broker reviews and you can write a review for that broker and say, hey, listen, try to be honest with the guy and try to get a truck order not used and he didn't pay. You know, that's why I created the forum in the site, because I want people to do that. And I'm not going to censor people. I'm not going to delete it. As long as you're honest and as long as it's figured out. Because then what I'm also going to do, if I see a crap about, you know, insurance claims or shady brokers or all that stuff, I may make it into an article, or I may use it for surveying purposes. Or if I see someone that's getting the shaft, I'm going to do what I always do and do my best to defend that. Because nobody in the transportation industry, whether you're a small broker, small carrier, big broker, big carrier, should be getting screwed over by anybody else. It's a time for you know, us in the transportation industry, or the people that actually care about it, to try to work together. And that's why I make these shows. But Katya said about your comment, right, Lane? Katya on Facebook said, going too far, brother. Let Steve do that on his own time. I am not going to run for transportation czar. I am not. I get too worked up over stuff. Can you imagine the first time they try to sit down and they talk about how, you know, there's not enough money? Oh, I'm not even doing it, because then it goes to a politics conversation. I'm not doing it. I'm a big political guy. I'm a big fan of politics. I've held appointment office. appointed office several times in different capacities. I like politics. Used to think I'd be a senator or something like that, but then I started actually thinking about it, and I realized my mentality and the things that I value, like honesty and trustworthiness, those kind of things, yeah, they don't exist in politics. So I kind of threw that all out the window, and I won't be tipping my hat there. Katya said on Facebook, what are the legal things to remember when handling direct shipping between a carrier and OFF? I don't know what you mean. Yeah, I don't know what you're... So, I mean, have contracts. Have contracts with everybody, because just as a broker can screw you if you don't have it all listed on a contract, a customer can, and that's happened to me. You know, make sure you have payment terms outlined. Make sure you have freight outline. Make sure you have everything that you possibly can outlined with your shipper. So that way, you know, I had one where they approved a detention. And then when we billed them the detention, they said, I never approved it. Well, we have it in writing and we billed them and they didn't pay. And we took it to collections and they didn't pay. So because I was an agent, they pulled it back from me. I had them sign a release and I sued him in small claims court. And guess what he did? He paid me. Was it a lot of money? Nope. It was like $180, but I sued him because of principle. Don't agree to do something and be shady. I've got another one right now that I'm dealing with from when I was an agent before. They, you know, the guy stiffed him and didn't pay. And so they charged it back to me a year after I stopped being an agent with them. They charged it back to me and said, hey, I owe him this money. So I paid him that money and I said, I need a letter. And they're like, a letter for what? And I said, a letter that says that this debt is being transferred to me. And they're like, what are you going to do with that? And I said, I'm going to go take his house. and that's it. And as soon as I get that letter, I'm going to file a lawsuit on that guy too. Because ultimately, that's the only recourse you can have. And because you have it in writing, you know, and that's how that broker was able to charge it back to me. Because they had it in writing that if a customer didn't pay, it was my responsibility to pay it. Katya, I guess you're talking about an ocean freight forwarder. So what kind of things do you have to have in writing? I mean, it just everything like I just said. I'm not a lawyer, so I try to steer away from, you know, that kind of stuff. And in terms of doing like ocean stuff, I don't have much experience with it. I'm not a forwarder, never really have been a forwarder. I don't have much experience doing stuff internationally. I think I've done, I don't know. Yeah, probably about as many reefer loads in my 15 years in the freight game as I have ocean freight, which is like, I don't know, you know, on both hands. I don't have a lot of experience doing no ocean freight. We used to haul a lot. So we'd go into the ports and drop freight off or go pick stuff up from the ports for forwarders and then handle the transportation there. But in terms of the overseas stuff, I don't know. So I'm just going to bow out of that one. I don't have an answer for you. But as I said, so my website is new and improved. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty awesome. I'm very happy with myself. And here's the thing. That's a WordPress site. On Thursday when I didn't make a video, it's because I spent all day teaching myself how to code and to do WordPress. And I built that site from scratch myself. Well, I used a template, but all the other features and all the other stuff I'm putting into it, I spend a lot of time. So go to that website, look around, enjoy it. Click the little bell. You're going to get a notification thing. It says Freight Broker Live wants to show notifications. Click allow. So if I ever have breaking news, I'm not going to send out spams every 20 minutes saying new article posted. I do that to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that stuff. So if you want to see what every time I post an article, just follow me in those platforms. This is going to be for breaking news. Or if I have a video that's super good and I want to put it out there just to grab traffic, I'll do a push notification to all the people that follow the actual page itself, but mostly for breaking news. We have my phone ringing constantly for some reason, which is annoying. It's like they call it 2:00. So we have the trucking news section. We have freight tech. I'm actually going to be switching that tomorrow. Freight 101 will always be its own section, but then I'm just going to have news because I have so many different news topics and I'm able to do so much more with this site now. We have the Freight 101 section, which I'm going to continuously be adding new content to. That is where I'm just going to talk about targeted things in the transportation industry that you need to know in order to be successful, from negotiating with brokers, figuring out how to use DAT to find a rate, figuring out how to use truck stop to use rates, do like look on load boards, how to file for your numbers. I'll probably make a new video and put that up directly to those sites or directly to those pages, because that's what I want. If you have something that you want to learn in the freight industry, send me a message. Send me an email at live@freightbrokerlive.com, and I'll try to write an article on it, or, you know, take a stab at it. And we have the healthy driver section, which I described a little bit. It's going to be just about exercise and different healthy eating habits and things that you can do in the truck or outside of the truck in order to better your physical, whatever, your physical well-being. It's something that I value heavily, you know, being a competing athlete and all that stuff. And I think that it was something I struggled with when I drove a truck too. And it's something that you guys can easily work on. You know, one of the best things, the best exercises you could do outside of your truck is walk, and you have to walk all the time. So instead of just walking from the fuel aisle, you know, in to go get food, go park your truck like you should anyway and not block the fuel aisle, and then just get, you know, get a couple hundred extra yards in a day or something and walk, and just walk for a half an hour each day, and it increases. There's an article on there. It's good for you. It increases cardiovascular health. It increases endurance and increases awareness and all sorts of stuff. Plus, I'll have some physical exercises. I'm working with a trainer from my gym too, and she's certified. She'll hopefully, if it all works out, she'll have exercise routines and personal training. That'll all be linked directly to her, not to me. But she'll get in response for getting people to work with her, she'll have she'll help produce some content, different exercises and things you can do. Because again, I'm not a personal trainer. I'm just a big dude and I lift a lot of weight, but I'm a power lifter. So like the stuff you guys would do in the truck, there's no way in hell you're going to do what I do in the gym, because you'd probably die. Half the time I'm done working out, I feel like I'm going to die anyway. And then we have the virtual truck stop, which I'm super happy with. So we have Freight Broker Live TV, which is on there, which is, it's going to be all my old videos. I keep updating them. It's just, you guys got to bear with me. It takes a long time. So when this video is done, I'll update it and I'll throw it in there, and it'll just have a neat little player. It's also, if you've already downloaded the Roku app, so if you have a Roku TV or the little Roku player, this guy is on that application. So you can see what it looks like from there. We're going to have the classified section. So if you're selling a truck, selling a trailer, selling a box load of straps, selling anything, you can do it on there. Kind of like a Craigslist without all the escorts and stuff. and there won't be, because I'll moderate it to make sure it stays PC. And then lastly, the one part that I'm super excited about, which is the forum. The forum has spots for introductions, Freight 101 about starting a brokerage or a carrier side. Broker reviews, that's the biggest one. I want people to get in there and write broker reviews. Write good reviews, bad reviews. I want it to be a resource where people are actually getting help. You know what I mean? So if you have a question about something, or a broker treated you great and you are super happy to work with that broker, every other carrier should know that. And if someone has a bad experience with a broker, then write it in there. And then I can talk to, or, you know, we can talk about it. Does someone else have problems? Is it something that can be addressed on the air? Is it something maybe they want to give an interview and explain the situation? Who knows? But I'm going to use it as a platform to try to help people and try to make it better. And then, of course, we've got what you do on your days off, because that's very important to hear what other people do. Some people go hunting. Some people sit on the couch and watch TV. Some people have to mow their lawn. Some people have to do all the chores at the house because their wives don't do anything. You know, whatever the situation is, you could just write it there. And then we have Breaker 19, where you could just talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. Again, no racism, nudity, or anything else like that, because I'll take it off. But that's what it is. That is at Freight Broker Live under the virtual truck stop. I will have the store up. I'm not going to give a time frame, because it's taken me forever to do it. It's a lot less, or it's a lot more complicated than I thought. But that's just going to have a bunch of content that I think is good, different CB radio selections, TVs you could have in your truck, food, tools, straps, cars, boats, houses, all that crap. And anything that I think is cool and would be good for you guys to have on the road or in the office or whatever. And I'll probably section it off if I can for, you know, brokers and carriers and all that stuff. And then that's about it. If you don't know who I am, make sure you like and subscribe. Make sure you go to freightbrokerlive.com. Check out the page. I worked super hard on it. If you have an iPhone, go to iTunes the second this is over and subscribe to my podcast. I do have new podcasts coming out next week that will not be live shows, so you're going to have to subscribe in order to see them or to listen to them. Make sure you go to iTunes and do that. You just search Freight Broker Live, and then you'll find it. Make sure you go to... No, you do have to log in, bud. You have to create a login to view the forums and all that stuff, I think, if that's what you're talking about. Which if you click on the virtual lounge and then go to forum, members, activity, blah, blah, it'll log in and then register. So you just have to log in. But yeah, so that's that. And if you want to listen to the podcast on Google, you can go there or just literally just Google Freight Broker Live podcast and you'll see it everywhere. Or what you could do if you have an Amazon Alexa, just say, hey, Amazon, play me the latest episode of Freight Broker Live, or play me the latest episode of the Freight Broker Live podcast, and boom. It'll play it. It's doing all sorts of awesome stuff. It's crazy. Well, with that, I'm ending the show. I'm tired. I've got cotton mouth. I need to drink some water. But with that, I'm ending this bad boy. We'll see you later, guys.